We're going to read the first 8 verses of that chapter. If you would please stand with me as we read the scripture. Revelation chapter 19. Beginning to read with verse 1. Revelation 19:1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunders, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come. I just praise you for the opportunity to read your precious word, to sing those praises, to sing that special, to have the Sunday school classes this morning, to begin this wonderful week, looking forward now to the study tonight and Tuesday and Wednesday night. It's such a joy, dear Father, to study your precious word and to fellowship with the family as we come together. Please, dear Lord, that you will bless the reading of your word. Open the ears that we can hear. Open the ears to all that listen to the radio programs as they go throughout the area. Father, we thank you for the Internet as we're able to have the website and to be in so many foreign countries as folks have the need of your precious word. So please, dear Lord, that it just continue to go out, whether it be in this country or around the world. It's just such a wonderful opportunity that you've given us, and you've blessed us so, dear Lord. Now, please guide and lead us through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We look at those words that say, after these things. We've had these words in the past. We've had them in the 4th chapter, verse 1. We've had them in the 18th chapter, verse 1. And now once again here in the 19th chapter, verse 1. As we look at each one of those scripture verses, we find that all and each one of them refer to the destruction, either the coming or the destruction of Babylon, the religious Babylon. And so the great whore, as it's referred to here. And we have studied the 17th and 18th chapter concerning this destruction. This event is seen very differently from ourselves, believers in heaven, versus what they see upon earth. We're coming to the close of the tribulation period. It will be of the most awful time ever on this earth. And no one that you know, or yourself included, needs to go through this time. We look to the news today. You have the newspaper or television or radio, and we find the reason that this judgment has come upon the great whore, upon the corrupted church, it's because they are anti-God. And we sure see that today. The reason that judgment is coming upon our very nation, the reason for much of the trouble of this nation, is because it has become so ungodly. So you see that on earth during this time, there's cries and mourning and sorrow. But in heaven, There is praise in the word hallelujah, and it is coming. And so this announcement from heaven comes at the fall of religious Babylon. And as we look at that, we can bring a little further term to, we're looking at Rome. And so, but it's not just Rome, it's the whole system that is going to be destroyed and taken care of. And so, was this announcement something that you and I are going to see? As this praise comes, let's look at verse 1 there. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And so you see, after these things, after the destruction of Rome, after the destruction of the evil religious organization that is here, as they worship idols and do not worship the true God, they have taken away the grace of God. They do not preach the gospel of God. They do not tell people how to be saved. They tell people how to live and what to do in order to maybe get to heaven. Well, that's not the same Bible that I have. The Bible that I have before me tells me how to get saved, how to know Jesus as my Savior, how to walk each day. But as this announcement comes, have you ever wondered, are you going to see as the destruction? Are you going to be an eyewitness of this battle between our Christ and the Antichrist when He comes and really brings judgment here? Now, we know that we're going to be with Him at the final battle of Armageddon. We're coming down with Him. But as we look at this, are we watching what's going on here upon earth? Scripture doesn't really tell us. We know one thing, that because of the destruction, it brings a praise that rings all of heaven. And those words are hallelujah. We need to get used to praising our God, because that's what we're going to do in heaven. Now, you know, we're kind of quiet sometimes. We don't say too much when the word's being preached. We're afraid that we're going to get too emotional. And we need to say an amen when the word touches us. We need to say, yes, Lord, when the word touches us. Or we need to mention the word hallelujah when we are touched by the Spirit of God through the teaching of the word. We don't want something that's fake and phony. You see, as soon as a preacher starts preaching, the hands go up and the hallelujahs come and the praise. No, that's not real. We want it when the Spirit touches your heart. Because I tell you what, when they witness this, there's not going to be one voice that's quiet. Not one voice that's quiet. Well, they're going to see the judging hand of God. Well, why can't we praise God and be excited about our Lord when we possess the grace of God? Why are we going to be more excited about the judgment than we are about what God has done for us, that we're not a part of that? And so we need to live each and every day praising our God and acknowledging what our Lord has done for us. The Hallelujah Choir is what this is called. Maybe even some of your Bibles have that for a little heading or a little side note on there. One of the Bibles that I study from at home has that. It says, the Hallelujah Choir, and the Hallelujah Chorus is coming. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. What words? Hallelujah. That precious word, hallelujah, that we have there. The definition of that word is an adoring exclamation, an adoring explanation. Hallelujah. And then the words that follow that, look at those precious words that follow that shout, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Salvation means rescue, a safe deliverance. Glory, honor, praise, worship. Be accounted, the Scripture says, the Greek tells us the word glory means honor, value, precious, esteem, power, mighty, wonderful work. a mighty, wonderful work, a force, a strength. So you see, when we read through these scripture verses here, and we see, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, and power unto the Lord our God. So when we acknowledge with a shout, hallelujah, we have been rescued. We've been forgiven of our sin. We have been delivered. And the ones that are shouting this are the ones that have been delivered. Who is that? That's you and me. Have you forgotten where we are? We spent so much time on earth, we forgot where we're at. We're in heaven with the Lord, watching all this take place, or at least hearing about it. We know what's going on. We know what's happening. And for us to see the victory, final victory over the enemy, and to then give a shout of hallelujah, because we have been saved, we've been delivered, we give you the honor and praise, we bow before you, dear Lord, we come and esteem you as the highest. You're of the most precious, most valuable to us is our God. And we know that you have the power and the strength to produce and to cover everything that needs to be taken care of. We know that. And that's what we will shout when we're there. That's what's going to come from our voices as all the other voices of all heaven will be shouting. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Salvation is to us. We are the church, and it has been handed to us through the precious blood of the Lamb. What an opportunity we'll have. For true and righteous are his judgments, the second verse says. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And so that 19th verse, for true and righteous. This judgment that's coming, and it continues here in verse 3 with the second hallelujah. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now this judgment, this it's going to be a physical judgment. There's going to be fire and there's going to be smoke. Also, it's a spiritual judgment or a spiritual burning. The judgment here is the judgment of Almighty God, and it's an everlasting judgment, an everlasting judgment. The smoke will pour out forever and ever, the Scripture says. You know, when the city of Chicago back in 1871, the great fire of Chicago, and thousands of homes were destroyed, hundreds of people died, and it put the whole city into a terror. The smoke rose up, and then the fire went out, and you had the ashes. Even Sodom and Gomorrah, when they were destroyed, cities of the valley they can't even find, but there is so much history written about them that they cannot deny their existence, but they can't find them. They can't find them. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and that was in 1898, only it was just on the other side of the birth of Christ. That was B.C. When this judgment came, and God poured out his judgment and sent fire and brimstone upon this earth, and it literally annihilated everything. No buildings were left. No people were left. Nothing. Some believe it's under the edge of the Dead Sea, possibly. They're trying to figure out where it could be at. But God's judgment was so thorough and so complete that no one could find it. But once it was over, the smoke cleared. It was done. This judgment will be so strong. The judgment is a judgment of Almighty God on the kingdom of ungodliness. It is going to come. It's going to be a judgment upon this monstrous organization. It is a political organization, it's a religious organization, and it exists today, but it's going to grow, continue day after day until we finally come to this tribulation period, and then it will take its greatest strength. This system of anti-God, again, made up of political and business and religion. And you look at this, and many today, and it's been for years, the many churches are very wealthy churches. It's not for the purpose of getting missionaries out and getting the gospel out. It's for their own wealth and their own being. This smoke will ascend up forever and ever. With this anti-God philosophy in politics, business, and religion today, he cannot tarry much longer before he comes. He has got to come, because there has never been a more anti-God system than there is today. Will it be today? Will it be next week? Will it be 5, 10 years from now? I don't know. But I know that the time is closer, and we must be ready. When this judgment comes, different from any other, this judgment is going to be so thorough and so complete, but the smoke will rise from this judgment forever and ever, the Scripture tells us in verse 3. Hallelujah! Her smoke rose up forever and ever. It brought another cry from those folks, a cry of joy, a cry of excitement from heaven, as we find finally the hand of God. Remember back several months ago that we had saints underneath the altar, and they came before God and they says, "How long? How long are you going to tarry till you bring judgment upon this wicked world?" And he said, "Just wait. Just wait. It's coming." And it did. It's here. This judgment is here. And it does bring rejoicing. How can there be rejoicing when so many people die and so many people will step into the gates of hell and the lake of fire for eternity? How can there be joy in heaven over such a thing? It's because God is true and God is just, and God gave every one of those individuals an opportunity to come to Christ, to his Savior. Every one of them had an opportunity. And if they've chosen not to, if they've been deceived by the Antichrist, if they've been deceived by this Babylonian system here, and they've been taken in, and I have watched folks that I know that I never thought they would leave the truth, and they've left the truth. I never thought they would do that. But they have been tricked and deceived. Are they saved? I hope so, because even though they'll lose all benefit of life and won't have the joy of life, at least they will not have to go to the lake of fire. Because just because you leave the truth today, if you're born again, you're forever born again. God's the one that keeps you. But for the multitudes that are not born again, for those that have left the truth and maybe they're saved, but they go to some church, some place that doesn't teach the truth anymore because it's a feel-good religion, and they stop singing the hymns and they just repeat the choruses so they feel better as they have their service of the day. Where are you going to bring the folks that you invite? Where are you going to bring your family? You'll bring them there, and they'll probably never be saved because of that. You'll be judged for that as well. We need to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment is coming. Judgment will be soon. The smoke will ascend up forever and ever. Babylon is the mother of all anti-God politics, religion, and business. Remember that. And we see that today. All that is contrary to the righteousness, the holiness, and the purity of our God. The sad thing is today, many churches, many false teaching, this Babylonian teaching is hidden under the name of Christ at many churches. The name's there, but that's all. Verse 4, the praise continues, and the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, and the third, Hallelujah. The third hallelujah. All heaven, all creatures from the least to the greatest will join into this praise. You see how excited that all believers, and again, all creatures will be, finally, our God has taken back what's His. All the false teaching, all the lies that have been taught, all the saints that have died standing for the Lord Jesus, all this will be brought to an accounting, and judgment will be given to all those. To all those preachers, all those people that have been deceived and have taught lies through the years. And many times it is generation after generation. Well, you be the one that breaks that generation. I am one in my family that have broken that generation. Now, how long will it continue? Will it end with my generation? Because the next generation don't follow the truth? Or will we get maybe a generation past? Maybe my grandchildren or great-grandchildren, will they stay with the truth? Or will it go away? All we can do is teach and preach our generation and hope and pray that it touched the next generation, that they can touch the next generation. It will make a difference. Maybe you're one that has lived in a Christian home and was raised by Christian parents. What a blessing. What a tremendous blessing. How about your next generation? Are you going to be the last generation, or is it going to continue? We need to be busy at preaching the truth. The 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Back in the 4th chapter, we learned about the 24 elders. Also, we learned about the 4 beasts. We found back in the 4th chapter that those 24 elders is a church. So that's us. That's you and me. Anybody that's a believer, not just this church, all believers during the church age, from Pentecost till the rapture of the church, all will be gathered together, all will be praising God. And that's what this 24 elders represents, all born-again people. We're the bride. We'll rejoice at what's going on, the excitement that'll be in our hearts. Right now, we should be looking to the coming of our Lord. But at this time, we will be anxiously awaiting coming back to earth. We're going to come back to the earth with our Lord. We're going to meet Him in the air. Whenever, right before the tribulation starts, the rapture of the church, we will be taken from here. All those that have died, all those that remain and are alive will be taken up. Those that died in Jesus come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, trusted Him as their Savior. Please, don't miss that. How simple can it be? How simple can it be? God sends the convicting Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to convict our hearts of sin. Once He does that, different than any doctor, a doctor can show us what's wrong, but a doctor many times can't take care of it. But our Lord can. Our God can take care of it. He can save us. He can take all of our sins away, every one of us. And so, you see, He sends the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. Then He shows us the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then He gives us faith to trust in Him, to call upon Him. All we need to do is say, please, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts. The precious Spirit calls. And then He saves us. Jesus saves us. Jesus keeps us. So you see, there is nothing to do to keep our salvation. How simple can it be? Is there anyone here that is unable to do that? No, unless you choose not to. Unless you choose not to. You come by faith. When that call comes, that trump is sounded, and we that are alive in Christ will have to await those that have died in Christ, because the graves will be open first. and those family members that knew Jesus, that they'll come first, get their glorified bodies, and then we'll follow them immediately into heaven for eternity to be with our Lord. But after this 7-year period, then we're going to come back down with Him. We will be with Him at the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon, and then we'll enjoy His presence and power here on earth for 1,000 years. That's what the Word of God tells us. The elders. Now these four beasts, they're four living creatures, the fourth chapter tells us. Their single purpose is to praise God day and night. Those are the four beasts. It always seemed strange that they called them beasts. We think something that's a beast is something evil. And here it is a creature that God has created for His honor, for His glory, day and night. One looks as a lion, the other is an ox, the other has the face of a man, and the other is a flying eagle. All this is present at this final judgment of religious Babylon. The church of the day, the social church of the day of which we have today. The bride will rejoice. Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. Praise our God, all ye servants, all ye that fear Him, small and great. There's a stamp of approval from the throne of God for the rejoicing. For the rejoicing, God says, yes, rejoice. It's over. This part is done. Babylon is destroyed. All the wicked at this time are in terror. All saints are filled with joy. Small and great are ready and anxious to praise Jehovah, who is worthy to be praised. There's something great that's just around the corner. Not only is it victory here over this great enemy, the great whore that has despised and destroyed the church as we know it. There's something great and wonderful just around the corner that's going to be announced. And that's the marriage of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb. We are at the marriage supper, remember? That's where we are. You like to eat? 7 years. 7 years. Oh. It's coming. Before we get there, verse 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah. That's the fourth one in those 6 verses. For the Lord our God omnipotent reigneth. The voice of a great multitude. If you've ever been on the coast, you hear the roar of the ocean. I remember when the old mighty Mississippi here back in 93, when the waters got so high, and we lived here in town at the time, and we came home one night, and it was the first time that I heard it. It was this most eerie roar, and I couldn't figure out what it was for a little bit, and I realized it was the rushing water over the dam, and it was the strangest sound, and it lasted for several days, weeks, and the voice of this multitude will be equal to that. It'll be a mighty sound, something never been heard before. Mighty thunders is part of this verse too. The great multitudes as the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thunderings saying hallelujah. The youngest to the oldest can understand what a mighty clap of thunder sounds like. It just brings you to your feet. A lot of times you don't see the flash of the lightning, but you hear the thunder, the mighty thunder afterwards. and it just roars, shakes the earth. Well, that's going to be this voice, this mighty voice of praise, crying out, hallelujah, during this time. Again, not only judgment has come, victory has won, but the marriage to the Lamb is about to come. The marriage of the Lamb. This great voice, millions of redeemed, billions of angels, all will be shouting with a thundering voice, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent, all-powerful, reigns. Victory is going to come. You know, we many times live a defeated life. We shouldn't. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. All heaven thunders out, hallelujah, four times. And I hope you take your Bible and you write a one next to that first verse, about the third line down in my Bible. And it's hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, power unto the Lord our God. Number two is in the fourth verse. Number two is in the third verse. And again they said, hallelujah, her smoke rose up forever and ever as they experienced the judgment that came to the evil upon this world. The next we find in the fourth verse, when the 24 elders, which is the church, and the beasts cry out, hallelujah. And then we come down and enjoy the fourth and the final, and that is in the sixth verse, hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, all powerful God. There's four hallelujahs in there. And I hope that you mark them and read them often and acknowledge that. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth, all powerful. We know this statement is true. We have it back in the second verse. For true and righteous are his judgments. Know what God does is right. In chapter 15, verse 3, we had the same similar words, righteous and true are thy ways. In chapter 16, verse 7, true and righteous are thy judgments. God deals with all people. God deals with all people, either through his grace or by his judgment. Every individual that's ever lived, God deals directly with. There's not one person can avoid God's hand. Either you're held by his love and his grace through the blood of his son Jesus, or the curse of sin will judge you because you've still got it, even though Jesus took it away. That's the saddest thing, I think, of all that thought. Jesus died and took it away. He took it from you. But when you didn't, you refused that free gift. You still are accountable for it. In this verse here, these verses, the judgment of this harlot, the great whore, Rome, religious Babylon, her sin, she is held accountable for two things. There's two items listed here, and it covers all. She corrupted the earth with her fornication. You'll find that in verse 2, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. And the second is also in verse 2. Hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. She is responsible for the shedding of blood of all saints. Every saint that has died, she's responsible for it, and judgment's there. I'm going to read verse 7, and then we're going to end there, and we will start with this next week. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Most of the time, when you hear somebody make a reference to your wedding, Who do they talk about? They talk about the bride. Never hear about the groom. He's nothing. Just the bride. Just the bride. Not here. Not here. It's not the marriage of the bride. It's titled the marriage of the Lamb. Our Lord has brought us to this place. He deserves all honor and all glory. And yes, He has adorned us and prepared us, but He is the one that gets the honor and the glory, not the bride. The weddings that I've enjoyed doing, you line the groom and the best men and all them out there, you know, nobody pays any attention. You know, even the maid of honor and those, they come down. But when that bride-to-be comes, every eye is turned and everybody's watching. Well, here, everybody's going to be watching the Lamb of God, the groom. It's going to be a little different. Judgment upon earth, weeping and crying, rejoicing in heaven, because God has brought judgment against evil. It continues. We're not finished yet. More judgment to come. But this is the religious Babylon. Let's close in prayer. Father, I ask today that You'll speak to our hearts through Your precious word. We are here to hear from You. We come because we enjoy each other's presence. We come because we enjoy the singing. We come because we enjoy the preaching. But if we would come and ignore the reason that we're coming to get a special blessing, receive a special blessing from You in learning more about You, receiving more of Your power and strength. Maybe we're coming today and we don't even know You as our Savior. Today is the day that they'll come and say, I don't want to face this awful time. I want to be saved. And it's wonderful, dear Lord, because You will save them. We have the opportunity to read Your word, to preach Your word, study Your word. But if it's not for Your precious Holy Spirit administering it, whether for salvation or for growth and power and strength, it's of no value. So thank You, dear Lord, for coming and being here. Please speak to all of our hearts now and change our lives that we may be a greater vessel and more in service, more in honor and power to You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.